and Catering since 1980 in Long Island's favorite place to eat, right off the Long Island Expressway at exit 39 North. Connect at 516-484-3320 or log on to Kitchen Cabaret with a K.com. That's Kitchen Cabaret with a K.com. The Yankee bromance has already started here. Booney's in studio. He's ripping on me for being short. Him and BT are talking shop. The Yankee love. Aaron Boone live in studio with us. Booney, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me. I can't believe you guys got me in, but I'm so excited to be here. It's cool to see the studio, your little digs here. Fired up to be here.
We had to clean it up for you, of course, and we got the packs. We will play Pull Your Card two versions, me versus you, and then you versus BT, right. 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89. You will pick the years for each of us.
Yeah, but you didn't hear something. Booney's got to tell you what he told me. I think you were doing something
He's
else.
He's a little nervous?
No, well, oh. I don't want to speak for the skip here. He does it, you know, several times a day as the manager, but when he first heard it, he's, quote, I was kicking your ass. I was playing alone with you guys.
Yeah, so I heard this. I heard it. Last winter, I'm listening to one day, and you guys are playing this, and I'm like, I think I was waffling, you know, on the air, you know. And then when I was texting with you about, you know, getting the details done for this, and you dropped the, I was going through my sticker book.
My 85 sticker book.
My 85 sticker book. I'm like, oh, I could be in trouble. Like, first of all, I don't know if you should be admitting that you're going through your 85 sticker book.
Here we go.
Booney, some guys play and some guys collect stickers.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, now I am going to say
so it. I know his career. Yeah. Did you play?
I mean, I played in, like, junior high. I mean, I was a good defensive player.
You better athlete than Evan?
That sounds great.
Come on, Booney, don't insult me. Better athlete than Evan. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Evan's honestly one of the worst athletes in the history of sports
radio. I saw some video of him hitting one time. I was like, ooh.
Come on.
I don't know what can he do athletically. No, Sal's definitely an elite athlete.
No, I had a glove, but I didn't have confidence. I wish I had the confidence I do now doing this as a player, but I wasn't any good, unlike you. All right, can we get into this here before we?
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten over the World Series yet?
No, only you ever get over it. It's kind of one of the first things when you're talking with the team after the game, and it was, you know, obviously pretty emotional. A lot of people got up and spoke. You know, it's like it's going to hurt forever. I mean, you know, the 2019, you know, walk off, that really every end to the season. But when you're close in a lot of different ways, the ending sticks with you forever.
What do you say, Aaron? I mean, it really is amazing about just how great Judge is and what a terrific person he is. He's not going to drop a pop fly like that the rest of his life.
Yeah.
What do you say to him?
Just keep it moving. I mean, the one thing Judgey does so well, day in and day out, year in and year out, lives it, is he's just this perfect teammate and really perfect competitor. And when you play in the game and when you live in the game, you understand, you know, we talk about the grind a lot. And you understand that, and you understand the ups and downs of it all. And I've never seen somebody handle the day-to-day 0 for 4 one day, 2 for 4, whatever, as well as he does, like that even keel.
Even better than Jeter? Because Jeter was pretty good with that stuff too, right?
Jeter was great at that. Judge, just because I know him so well now, and I've lived it with him, to watch him every single day, he just gets the life and the grind of it all, and for a guy as great as he is, also how hard it is too.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people make a big deal out of game 5. Obviously that inning, it was horrific, but game 1 you got ridiculed for the decision there. I personally didn't have an issue with it, because I'm thinking, if Cortez is on the roster and he wants to use him here in the spot, so be it. I know you had some regret though after the game. Take us through your decision with Cortez against Freeman.
I don't know if it's regret. The decision for me was not Tim Hill versus Nestor, because the inning, while it ended with Freeman, who going into that series, before he went off on the series, felt very much like a shell of himself coming out of the NLCS. Like, he could barely walk in that NLCS. He wasn't the same guy. I think the time off certainly served him well. So the calculus for me was 2-3 hitters. And I knew Cortez, we felt like was a better matchup going into that game against Ohtani. And if the one Hill at bat against Ohtani later in the series was one of the only hits Ohtani got, he smoked the ball to center field. So we had to get two outs.
Right.
We're probably not going to double up Otani, right, with his speed. So that, you know, and I like the Nestor matchup against him and especially Betts. Now, once the ball takes Verdugo into the outfield and moves up the runner, then I'm going to take my shot with Freeman with Nestor. And if, you know, if frankly, if the ball is 4 inches higher, I mean, he kind of pulled it down and in. And it ended up in the seats. But so I don't have regret about that decision. The one thing was, do I keep Weaver in the game?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you would lose him for a game two scenario, but then you got the off day. So there's a case to be made there. And that's probably the one I wrestle with the most. He had come off, I think he was at like 19 or 20 pitches. We were tied. I wasn't going to send him out if we were tied. But I think the case to be made, once we took the lead, saying, let's roll with him here, but then it's like, do I get to the finish line with him? Then I'm going to somebody else anyway, and he's down a couple days probably. So that was the biggest thing that I still to this day, like, man, I could have gone Weave.
You know what I'm curious about? I know that, you know, the hitters have meetings, the pitchers have meetings. They do this before the game. You have meetings, and you go through, hey, if this presents itself, I would imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong, seventh inning, this guy's up, this guy can pitch, this guy's not available, two on, no out, different scenarios so that you're not caught off guard in the moment. And then, of course, you've got to evaluate things in real time. As you, when you, right before you went to Nestor in that spot, mm-hmm. or any other big spot, how early in a high-leverage game are you starting to plot out the two or three different options you have, like two innings before? How does that work?
We meet probably an hour before every game, regular season and the postseason. Now, the postseason, obviously, you have days leading up to it and more advanced scouting reports that you really dive into that are even more detailed, like maybe a specific matchup that you feel like lines up a little better, or mm-hmm. one that on paper you think might be a good matchup, but as you dig a little bit more, maybe isn't. So it's a little more detailed. Yeah, I mean, I think you get to certain points of the game and you get through certain innings, you can see how it's unfolding. But we, an hour before each game, it'll be myself, Blake, Harkey, was Desi, Osmus, and Louis Rojas are in there.
Cashman's not in there for that stuff?
No.
Okay.
No, and we kind of go through, you know, we have our matchup sheets and everything and what matchups we like, and we just kind of start to talk through scenarios, you know, and I kind of open it up. All right, he's gone five. He gets two outs in the, he gets an out in the sixth at the three hole hitter. We know it's now a sketchy matchup, possibly. He's done. Like, that's how I present it. I'm like, all right, he's done. Who we like for the next round. Now, every team's a little bit different. You know, a lot of teams now are very platoon heavy. So, you know, Like the Red Sox this year, we're kind of starting to look a lot like the Rays have been the last few years, where, you know, the Rays, when they've been at their best, like, have that complimentary 12, 13-man position player that kind of, like, the bulk of it turns into a really good nine, and you know that, man, I bring in a situational lefty or righty, boom, they're firing this guy that is on this team because he handles one-handed really, really well. And a lot of teams are being built like that. The Red Sox were a little bit like that. The Dodgers, not as much. They're a little more like us and less of that pinch-hitting mode. They had a couple of guys. But that's a big one is, okay, if I bring this guy in, are they going to shoot someone? And do we want that even, especially if it's in the middle of the game and you set yourself up moving forward?
Is that what you're talking about, all these lanes? Like, I don't know if you and Cashman are big bowling fans, but it's the lanes and this and that. And, it drives me nuts hearing the lane talk.
Yeah.
But it feels like, even hearing you explain it, Booney, and I get it, like, there's a part of me that says, okay, well, there's logic behind that, but it's also almost predetermined. And if you're predetermined to, we went over this scenario, and now, okay, we talked about this pregame, so we're going to go with it here, as opposed to your gut feel. You're a baseball lifer. You said it yourself. And I think you've done a better job of that, of applying both in recent years here.
Yeah, but honestly, it happens every night. Every night. There's the balance, and there's every night where you toe the line, where it's like, no, we got to push a little bit here. Even though that might be the better matchup tonight, we're going to try and get another here. A lot of the three batter minimum has changed things a little bit too. And it's not so much, I think in some ways it's fine. I don't mind it. And it's, you got to, you know, it puts some value in guys that get relievers, especially that get both handed out. But sometimes, you know, I'll take a pitcher out, like say a starting pitcher, and it's like, man, I could have got one more. I know you could have, but I hated the third matchup for the next guy I'm bringing
in. Yep.
And I know he's got to face three hitters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of times the calculus for even pulling a starter sometimes.
That's interesting. All right, so Aaron Boone is in studio. We're going to knock him around. I mean, play him pretty soon here in the baseball card game.
You both were a little nervous. I'm calm as
can be. I'm not nervous.
You said before he got here you were nervous about the card game.
Well, he's supposed to beat us. Well, I mean, he's a Ranger. His dad played with all these guys. Jeez, if he doesn't beat us, you're a loser.
Now
you
that I'm here,
win,
I'm
man.
Nervous.
Yeah, see? At least you admit it. I respect that.
Okay, let me ask you this. I know we're jumping around a lot here, but to me, outside of Mattingly, there is not another Yankee that is so revered and has that top-level stature, and we know why, the plight, didn't have the teammates, his back, all the... Can Aaron Judge be an all-time Yankee, no asterisk, all-time without a championship?
Well, hopefully we'll check that second box, too. So that's how I look at it.
But if you don't, and trust me, I'm hoping you do as well, but if you don't...
He's as amazing a player and person that I've ever been around. So I would say yes, but I don't even want to think about that. I've said it before, we're hell-bent on getting to the top of that mountain, and that's where I'm not even gonna let myself go there right now.
Okay.
I respect that. BT and I have had these conversations many times. Did you grow up a Phillies fan too? I know you're an Eagles fan, and the reason I ask is because
So baseball, I was a fan of my dad's team.
Right.
Like, baseball's the family business, so it's like I'm not as much a fan of teams.
Okay, but I know you know the history as well as anybody, right?
Sure.
So Mike Schmidt, did you see the documentary that they did?
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
So I learned, I'm a little bit younger than you guys, I didn't know that Schmidt had these postseason struggles and that the Philly fans would get on him, which is not really that different from what Judge has experienced going from the greatest regular seasons of all time to some struggles in the postseason. Anything you could draw from that, Mike Schmidt to Judge?
Yeah, I mean, I lived it. I lived the 70s, you know, but, you know, they lost in the championship series, heartbreaking. 76, they got swept by the Reds when they were like, that was the year they burst on the scene, became this great team with an unbelievable nucleus. And then they lost in heartbreaking fashion in 77, 78 to the Dodgers. So I'm 3, 4, and 5 years old during that. And I mean, I was into it from the time I could crawl. But that said, I'm 5, 6, and 8. So I was aware of it, and the team was really, really close. We all lived in the area. You know, we spent the winter, like, families together and stuff, so we were really close. Like, Luzinski's are our family's best friends, really close with Schmitz and Boas and Tug and on, you know, Maddox and Carlton, all lived in basically the area, so it really was family. So I was aware of it. Not to the degree, and so the documentary was so good. And obviously then he goes on to win the MVP in 80, and it kind of was like this defining moment of cherry on top of probably the greatest third baseman to ever live.
Yeah, he is. That documentary was great. The George Brett one was fantastic.
All of those guys. I eat those up. The Cobra.
I saw that one too.
Maddox, they had one recently.
Maddox
on
was
there.
Really good.
I saw that. What do you think is the best, you know, from your perspective, you know, from a competitive perspective, just the optics of the game, what do you think is the best decade of baseball?
Well, I think it's the one that when you fell in love with the game, and it always is that. And so for me, that's the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Late 70s, 80s. Like, that was the height of my fandom and when you're cemented. And I think it's very true, is you always romanticize and go back to, that's your default, is when you were the biggest fan, and, well, why don't we do this now, or, you know, those kind of things. So I would say, you know, the 80s is my wheelhouse.
Would you make of the Dodgers talking a lot of smack post-World Series? I know you're a competitive guy. Yeah. Dodgers had a lot to say about your ball club.
I wouldn't let up. I was kind of hoping you said something,
quite
frankly.
Didn't like it. They won, you know, so... You know, that they had that right. So, you know, a couple of the people, like, saying some things. It's like, did you see what you did this year? Like, it wasn't the Freddie Freemans and Shohei's and Mookie's popping off. It was some others. So, look, they won the World Series. We didn't play our best, and, you know, they're flying high right now. So we'll try and get back to that stage and hopefully punch through.
But they were disrespectful,
yeah.
And you're a competitive guy. Like, that bothered me. I'm not even a Yankee fan. Mm-hmm. I know it had to really, really
I'll just say, yeah, it did.
Well, I know there's more in there, Booney. Come on!
I don't know how you didn't fire back. And I know it's pretty much, it's a waste of time. It only presents more problems for you and things you've got to deal with and that are really unimportant to the bottom line here that don't impact your bottom line. But, yeah, it's one thing to talk smack. Like, it was deeply personal in the baseball sense because I don't even have the quotes in front of me, but we all know what they were.
Multiple guys.
Like basically saying to you guys a little sloppy. Sorry, Joe Kelly. Yeah, some of these guys haven't done a damn thing in years. Like, a little sloppy, whether it's on the base. Like, to me.
Something down your leg.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's to me, if I'm the manager, that's an indictment, even if it's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking that so personally, and I know it would be counterproductive to fire back, but you had to want to. Did you almost fire back?
I'm almost firing back right now.
Well, don't stop, man. Let's go.
But no, I'm not. They won, and, you know, hopefully we win and you know, handle ourselves in a better way.
All right, well, let me ask you this then about the Dodgers, what they're doing. From a business perspective, okay, it seems like the Japanese pipeline has kind of shifted from the Yankees. Now it's there. Mm-hmm. You know, they made a very astute move getting Betts, very astute move signing Freeman. Like, they get guys. Even Freeman maybe was kind of at the tail end, but when they bring guys in, they're all in their absolute prime. And a lot of baseball fans, people that call the station, call me and Sal on social media, basically think the business of baseball is broken. I agree and I don't. What is your perspective on all this business stuff?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little overstated that it's broken, especially when you have like a team like this that we're all going, wow, they signed another, whoa, they got and they've gone to a place payroll-wise that it's like, you know, hard to wrap your brain around. And I worry a little bit about that from a collective bargaining agreement the next time. Like because it's not you know, when you're ironing out an agreement, it's not always just Major League Baseball and owners against players, but it's owners against themselves because you got to get 23. I feel like 23 out of 30 owners have to agree to ratify.
Mm-hmm.
So you start ticking, and there's always people in the middle that they got to pull over at the end. So I get a little worried about that. Come, you know, collective bargaining.
Meaning a work stoppage.
Correct.
I'm worried about that, too. I said that to Sal a couple of weeks ago that it came up. I'm very worried about that.
Yeah.
It stinks.
Need the games here. Come on. I can't deal with a work stoppage.
Watch, you finally get Soto and there's a stoppage.
Yeah. No, I don't want any part of that. You think you guys could beat the Dodgers this year?
I think we can beat anyone. We'll see. We got to get there, and they got to get there, and that's a lot harder than, you know, just having a great team. You know, in January. So it's a long way away. I don't even, you know, and we talk about this as a team, and I'll tell our guys, like, we ain't winning anything right now. It's about stacking days and trying to get better each and every day and putting yourself in a, and if we do that, we'll put ourselves in a position to go play in October and try and get back there.
Booney, you can manage another, you know, God willing, 15, 20 years, and...
Oh, God, no.
and never have somebody like Soto, like that unique skill set to pencil in the two or the three hole the rest of your career. He's that unique. I was a little surprised. I wouldn't say turned off. I was a little surprised that Judge and others, and I get it, it's not like your high school kids, you're grown men with families, I get it. Let them handle business layout. I do understand it. But did you reach out to Soto? Because I know Judge did not. He let him breathe a little bit. When this thing was going forward, how often did you communicate, if at all, with Soto about how much you obviously want him to come
back? Not a lot after we met with him.
Okay.
So when we went to California to meet with them, you know, that was my big time to, you know, really make sure he understood how I felt, how we felt, you know, my expectations and vision of him being there moving forward. So, you know, it was, I mean, what a process and getting to where it got to.
Take us inside the room. I'd love to hear about it.
It was, honestly, it was great. I thought we put our best foot forward. You know, we went out there with Hal and Randy and Cash and myself and Omar Minaya and, you know, basically just kind of broke bread in a room and kind of tried to lay out our vision and him being there potentially then long term, like what that looks like, what the expectations are around that, about being just more entrenched in the room. So just kind of laying that out. I will say he was awesome. I mean, he really was. He and I had, a great relationship, and you know, the respect I have for him, what he's about, what he brings to the table each and every day. Like, he loves the game, and he's a killer at his craft. Obviously, he's very coachable. Like, man, I could get on him about something in the game, and he was not a diva by any means. It was like, you know, he took pride in some of the things that aren't his strength. You know, believe
fielding,
it or not,
base like, running, stuff like that.
He cared about that stuff. You know, those are just more challenging things for him.
You get on guys?
Huh?
You get on guys?
No.
Hey.
So you may not do. I know there's a sleeping giant in there that we don't get to see, and then we sit here and say, oh, how could Boo not hold this guy accountable, that guy accountable? And then we got some insight to your brother, and we pay attention to your personality, the fire personality. There's no way you're not holding these guys accountable, or trying to at least, behind the scenes. Can you give us a little bit of insight? I don't want to name specific players, but we know what we're talking about here. When guys don't play the game the right way, what's it like with Aaron Boone behind the scenes?
Everyone's different. I say this all the time. I treat all 26 guys differently. Well, actually, it's more than 26, right, when you consider all the people that come through. So I have a different relationship with all of them. I treat them all a little bit differently based on what I think they need, what I expect. Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you don't. Sometimes there's bigger confrontations behind scenes. Sometimes it's, you know, you're building guys up a lot. You know, it's on me and my judgment to decide what I think a guy needs to get the best out of him. Ultimately, that's what we're trying to do, is get the best out of these guys. So that requires a different tone with each of them, I think. And you know, I think authenticity matters, so I think it can look a lot of different ways. I try to establish enough of a relationship with all of them to hopefully they know that I really care about them, and then it allows you to have, whether it's a tough conversation with one or whether it's building somebody up, hopefully they know it's coming, that I care about them and their career.
Yeah, and I, you said you don't want to mention names, and I respect that, but we've talked so much about Gleyber, and we wish him well. He was a good Yankee,
yeah,
good guy. He seems like the kind of player that you had to build up. Now, that's a long-distance read where he, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe a little sensitive, maybe wanted it too much in certain spaces, maybe didn't want it enough in others. Like, he would have really been confounding to me,
yeah,
if I'm you, because his talent's undeniable, but the fluctuations in focus would have absolutely driven me nuts.
Yeah. So, first of all, I love the person. He really does. He cares a lot, and really over the last couple of years, too, has taken a lot of pride in going to the post every day. Sometimes, look, unless you have lived it and played in the game and played in the grind and played in the pressure of Major League Baseball, especially playing in New York, like, a lot of guys handle that in a different way to try and, you know, so sometimes, you know, Paul O'Neill's going to look different than, you know, Gleyber may look.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little more gray than that. It's how they handle and try. You got to make plays and you got to produce. How do you do that? Do you do it by... Sometimes you do it by slowing things down a little bit, and that's not always the best look to a fan. Gleyber really cared, like you said, was a really good Yankee. What he did at the back end of the season last year and into the playoffs was enormous for us. You know, I've had a lot of talks with Gleyber over the years. Mendy and I have had a lot of talks. I've had a lot of talks with Gleyber, Gleyber over the years. But, you know, I feel like... It won't surprise me at all if he goes and has a massive year in Detroit, because he's capable of that. He cares. And, you know, sometimes it just comes out a little bit different.
All right. We got to get game one, round one here. You two are up first because I'm the champ.
But before we do
that, yeah, you're going to go against Booney. I'm going to have Booney pick the year. One more, though, on that, because you mentioned Mendy, made me think of it. I asked him on Saturday if he texted you a little trash talk after they got Soto. He said no. Did Soto text you after he left?
No. So, Bendy's been very, very delicate with that. Like, we actually had dinner, him and his wife and mine and my wife, in the city this past weekend. And then we sat next to each other on the dais at the writer's dinner. And the yearbook for the writer's dinner, you know, we're kind of thumbing through it. About halfway through, he turns it over on the back, and it's Soto and all the Mets stuff. And he goes like this. He just kind of slides it over to me like, I'm like, come on, man.
It was great because I was like, come on, you guys are boys. You had to text him. He's like, nope, no, I ain't doing that, man. Because he's saying that it comes back around.
Yeah. So listen, hold on. Yeah. I got to follow up. I know we're doing the games here. Yeah. But, like, yeah, and you'll move on. And we'll get to the moves that you got. And I like what they did. Yeah. That was a very good pivot. I think you guys will be very good this year. But, man, how are you not heartbroken that this guy's not in the two hole anymore? It's Juan Soto. I'm not saying it's anybody's fault.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, the one thing is I'm so proud of how Hal and ownership, where they went to, how they handled it. I don't think it ever would have stopped if we kept going and all the accoutrement things that started to add up. It's like, I feel like we put a great foot forward. I feel like we made a great pivot. But, you know, for a lot of people that are just like, wow, we got four, like, Juan and Aaron back-to-back, like, was, you know, even though maybe you had some flaws otherwhere on the roster, you know, really, I mean, was the reason for our ultimate strength of getting to a World Series.
Dude, that at-bat in Cleveland.
Oh, man. Wow. God almighty.
I mean, that at-bat, you've been around the game, obviously, we're just watching as fans. Have you ever seen anything? That at-bat was on.
And he had so many of those throughout the course of the year, you know, like, first at bat of spring training. I think he went deep his first at bat at spring training. And I was just like, and Aaron, like, it's spring training. I'm like, yeah, but think of that at bat. All the anticipation, eyes on that bat, and to watch it play out. Yeah. And then to watch, you know, we go to Houston to start the year. And then, you know, the amazing thing was I had a lot of people, you know, during the season, middle of the season, later part of the season, when we'd, you know, be in another city, maybe a front office person from another team come up and just ask me about Soto or whatever. I'm like, or Judge. And I'd be like, you know, the amazing thing is I can't imagine a better offensive season than what Juan's doing right now and the level at he gives you every night. And then I'd say,
look right behind him.
And Judge has 100 points on him in OPS.
Yep. That's unbelievable.
Like that. Oh, yeah. That was for me. And I tell Aaron all the time, sometimes I take him for granted a little bit. Like, his greatness on top of the season that Juan was having is, it's hard to fathom.
Yeah, but what's your sweet? What are you doing? Give up your sweet or your tickets. Keep the guy here. I mean, come on. You know, we know you got to hook up.
What you're really saying is you guys have the best right fielder in New York. I hear you, Skip.
Oh,
I got you.
Stop.
That's exactly what you're saying.
And by the way, his first at bat at Yankee Stadium as a Met.
Isn't that the game we're going to? We're going with Mitch, right?
We got
to
figure out a way to get there.
I think we're going there.
That is going to be some drama. All right,
let's
play. Speaking of drama. All right, so Booney, fresh packs right here.
All right.
83 through 89. You pick the year.
What do you want?
We're the same exact age. Let's go with 84.
All right. Now I'm going to let Boone pick the pack here. And Boone, you could go first or you decide. Since it's our house, you're on the road, you decide which pack. And then if you want BT to go first or you go
first. Take the one in your left hand.
Okay, so this is to Boone. Now do you want to go first or you want me to hit BT first?
Oh, that's right.
Go ahead, BT.
All right.
There we go. I like it. Putting pressure on you.
Yeah,
you
that's, put all right, up a number. That's all right. It's okay.
I know you, BT.
So he goes through a whole pack?
Yes, and then you're going to get
we
a
add
pack.
It up, and then
so
I go.
So say if I go, there's usually 15, like 9 for 15. You got 10 for 15.
Just double-check my math here. I've known to be a little shaky.
Yeah.
Hey, you didn't set this up or anything? This
is No. This is
fresh pack, I swear.
You want the gum here? Prove it.
Hey, boom, by the way, I was saying, like, if we win, can we come take a little batting practice on the field or something? Can we have a little catch, a little more time at the stadium?
Yeah, we'll
figure
something out.
There you go.
All right, first one.
You'd be good
so
for this
is for BT. Booney's pack is right here. First
Come on.
One.
All right.
Tim Flannery.
Tim
84 tops. Remember, that's the trick.
I'll say the Padres.
One for one.
Let's go.
Dave Stewart.
Smoke. What year are we doing here?
84 tops.
All right, let me just write that down. I'm going to keep asking you. Obviously went to Toronto after that. He was with the A's at this point, Dave Stewart.
No.
No?
What do you think?
No,
Dodgers.
Texas Rangers.
Wow, we're both wrong.
Whoa.
Hold on.
No, you're wrong.
I know. I know.
What do you got?
Jesus, guys, stick with me. Hey, you should be so hard with Glaber. Hey, listen. And by the way, Boney, hey, you don't have to. to scream. Like, it's not like you can steal it.
I got
to
keep up. You guys got these big booming voices.
Wait,
I got
it. Right. One for two.
Okay.
Oh, that scared me when he said no.
Familiar name, Vance Law.
Vance Law was like a third base, but a little utility. I think he wore glasses.
Yes, he did.
I feel like he was on the White Sox at this point.
Yes, sir.
There you go. All right, two for three.
White Sox.
Two for
three.
Hey, you guys are competitors here.
That's all right. I love
Booney.
He's my manager.
Steve Booney, you chose wrong. Neil Allen.
What year?
84 tops.
Oh, okay, okay. So he was obviously in the Keith Hernandez trade with Rick Owensby. I want to say at this point, this is 84. At this point, he's with the Cardinals because he gave up an opening day home run to Gary Carter. Back. All right, here we go. Three.
Len Sicada. We don't need the history. We just need the team. Len Sicada.
I'm trying to prove to the skip that I know what's going on.
Yeah,
here.
No.
Lenny Sicada. I think Len was on the Orioles at this point.
That is correct. Yeah. All right, so we got four for five.
Are you a little impressed? Are you a little nervous?
Manager.
Yeah.
Steve Boros. B-O-R-O-S.
Steve Boros. Boros.
B-O-R-O-S.
Ooh.
You know this one?
I can't stand the agent with the same name there.
You need a guess.
Can you give me 10 seconds to ponder it?
About 10, yeah.
I'm going to say 84. Jeez. Ace?
Get the hell out of here. How'd you know that?
Let's go.
That was my guess.
So you guys were in the same ballpark here, 84. You should have chose 83, Booney. You would have had him beat. 1, 2, 3, 4.
84 is 83, isn't it?
No.
Well, no.
83 is 83. Sometimes these, they change.
5 for 6, right, Sal?
Yeah, 5 for 6.
How many cards, by the way? We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll do that afterward. George Bjorkman, B-J-O-R-K-M-A-N.
Yeah, I don't think he's a position player. I think he's a pitcher. Is that right?
No.
Okay, I'm going to say Seattle.
I'm going to say that's wrong. Yeah. He's an Astro. Do you know that one? No. Never heard of him? Okay.
Never heard of him.
Jose Cruz.
Astros, really good hitter. Okay. Lefty hitter, good. He used to wear stirrups real high. Ron Davis, at this point, I believe remember, he used to set up Goose Gossage. I believe he was off the Yankees, although he could have been there for one more year. And I'm seeing the Minnesota Twins. I'm going to go Twins.
Good God, he's on fire.
I would have said Yankees. Nice guy.
Wow.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
He's on fire with this pass.
7 for 9.
Mike Kruko.
Mike Kruko was a pitcher.
Yes.
Giants?
Yes.
Booney. Booney, at this point, I'm going to be leading off for you. Forget about having a long toss. You're batting first. I know you don't know who's batting first yet. I'll bat first.
This is one of the premier cards in the 1984 top set, Darryl Strawberry.
Are you serious? We got Darryl. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mets 9 for 10.
I'm keeping that one.
He's 9 for 10.
I am.
No.
9 for 11.
9 for 11. Yeah, 9 for 11.
I'm sorry, 9 for 11. My bad.
Milt Wilcox.
Ooh.
Do you know this?
I think so.
He's either a pitcher or a catcher. I know that's kind of broad, but I think I see
he did
Toronto.
Play baseball,
I don't. I see Toronto. I don't think it's Toronto. I'm going to say Toronto.
Tigers.
Yo.
Nice pull, dude.
And
nice
he's a pitcher.
Yes.
Nice righty, lefty. What do we got? Ooh, righty.
Booney's got him.
Pitcher, catcher.
9 for 12. Okay.
Tim Laudner, L-A-U-D. I know the name, but I forget.
Timmy
how to say
Laudner was. I remember. I do remember.
Jim Bowden.
Wait, what?
Bowden. No, Tim Lorden. I'm saying he was busting my chops about Bowden.
I don't think this is right, but I'm seeing the Orioles. I'm going to say the Orioles here.
Twins.
I did know that.
Did you know that one, Booney?
No. Outfielder, right?
Catcher.
No.
All right, last one.
9 for 13.
Steve Kemp.
Nice. Okay, well, I could mess this up.
I had a vision of Steve Kemp being in this.
No, you didn't.
Are you serious?
I swear.
Oh.
Lefty hitter.
This is a tough one, though.
I know. I'm thinking Yankees and Tigers. Could be a little White Sox action, too. Jeez. This is 84, Sal?
84
tops. This very well might determine if I win. Oh, God. I think he came to the Yankees in like 82, 83 when they were trying to find their way again. I don't think it's Yankees. I don't. Lefty outfielder didn't deliver here. White Sox. I'm going to say White Sox.
Guess, Booney?
I would have. I think it's Yankees.
Yankees.
Ah, damn it.
Same thought process. I knew he was at his best with the White Sox. I actually babysat his daughter one night.
Are you sorry?
My mom and dad went out with Steve and his wife in spring training. I babysat their daughter.
That is awesome. Yeah. I would have loved to have nailed that, put the real pressure
on. So 9 of
I have 9 for 14, 15? I believe.
14. 9 for 14. Okay.
Right, here we go.
Here we go is right.
Skip, good luck, buddy.
All right.
That was a good round, though. I like that. All right, you're going to open this first.
Got to represent the show. Now the pressure's on you.
How about the pull of Daryl right there? I just had Daryl sign that car on Saturday. I'm going to get another one. All right, let's see. Here we go.
Ah, Steve Kemp. How do you mess that up?
Hey, careful wasn't.
Remember, like, Steve Kemp, Danny Pasqua, all those guys, like those lefties, Yanks, trying
already
to find Kenny Phelps.
All right, ready?
Yeah. There you go.
Warren Cromartie,
Expos.
That's correct.
Never heard of that one.
Oh, yeah. Outfielder.
Dave Hostetler.
That's a tough one.
Rangers.
Two for two.
Oh, boy.
Boom!
I'm in
two
trouble.
Two for two!
That's a good one.
I never even heard of this guy.
I did not know that.
Jim Palmer.
Oh, God.
Birds.
84. I'm going to need to specify.
Orioles.
There you go. Multiple birds. They play in your division. You should know that.
Appreciate that.
Hey, this is the breaks of the pack.
I got it. It's all good.
Ron Davis.
Oh. Twins.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Our World Series Game 7 last year was decided like that, and BT didn't remember it.
Oh, this is
perfect so far. Brian Giles.
What?
Yeah, Brian Giles. I've never heard of this guy.
Not the Brian Giles.
No, not the pirate lefty.
No, 1984. 84 tops.
I remember.
Cubs.
Mets.
He was a Met. He was an outfielder. Skinny. I remember watching him like that. Yeah, I do. I do.
I'm not familiar with him.
Brian Giles.
So what are we at now?
Four for five.
Okay. Dave Stapleton.
He's going to get this one right.
Red Sox.
Yes.
Are you rooting for him?
I am. Yes.
What the hell, dude?
Because he wants me to beat you and then him take me down.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You're right. You are right.
That's exactly right.
You're right. Boom.
Amos Otis.
Ah, come on.
Royals.
So oh, he's not even hesitating.
Yo, how good was that Royals team? Brad, Dan Quisenberry, Paul Splitoff. That was a sick team.
All right, I don't know how to say this name. Ben.
6 for 7.
Ben Ogilvy, is that right?
Come on.
Brewers.
Yeah, huh? Oh!
Cecil Cool. That was Harvey's Wallbangers, the 82 team.
They made me cry. They beat the Angels when my dad was there in 82.
Bobby Grich was on that Angels team, right?
Up 2-0.
Really? Up 2-0? Right.
And they came back and won.
Wow.
Bill, winners best of five.
Okay.
Bill Lasky. Laske. Bill Lasky.
Come on, I got to mush you here.
This is a tough pack, actually.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Mariners.
Giants.
There we go. Nice.
Where are we at? You get the numbers?
Honestly, he is 7 for 9, and at this point, I too was 7 for 9.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Tough pack here. Bill Stein.
That's a tough one, Skip.
Blue Jays?
Rangers.
Uh-oh.
Dude, these are names I legit have. Okay.
We'll pop up the shortstop. Booney's retired.
Jack Fimple.
Oh, worse.
That sounds like somebody from the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner or Bull Durham.
Who?
Braves.
No way.
Dodgers.
Nice.
You ever heard of Jack Fimple?
Hold on. Let me get this straight. What team is he on?
Dodgers.
7 for 11. Booty.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah, a little tight.
I think at least two of the last three, I recognize the names. We'll see where we're at here. Lamar Hoyt.
That's so
White Sox.
Yep. Yes. Okay. Now, just do the math, because in your pack, BT, you had a leaders card, which I had to throw out. So where are we at here?
8 for 12.
So how many cards should be left? 2, right?
No, I only did 13.
No, you did 14.
You did 15. Yeah, you were 9 for 14. 14.
I'm
okay,
sorry.
So
yeah.
There should be 2 left.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
Okay, so we're
correct.
Good. Aurelio Rodriguez.
That's a tricky one. Don't overthink it, Skip. Just go to the closer.
Shh, let him think. Good answer there.
Braves.
White Sox.
Oh, the best he could do is tie.
This is it for the tie?
This is if he doesn't get it right, I win.
I got to know Aurelio Rodriguez. That's
I forgot that, too. I would have got that wrong. 8 for 13. Aaron Boone needs it.
Rick Langford.
Ah.
Do you know it?
I'm just going to let you have the process here.
That's your final answer?
It's not the Cardinals.
Yeah. What is it?
I would have said the A's.
Yes, the pitcher. He's part of the thing.
Yes. Oh, he got you, Booty.
You
beat
me.
It's the A's.
He was part of that five.
Dude, give me some.
Five. I just saw a picture of that Sports Illustrated
That's what
cover.
We do on this show.
That's what we do on this show. All right, so we're going to take a break.
Boy, Booty, don't take this the wrong way. I wanted to beat your ass so bad, dude.
That was a good matchup, though.
That was a lot of
Actually,
fun.
It was a great matchup.
That was awesome.
And I'm keeping that strawberry card for myself.
Great
All
stuff.
Right, so we'll take a quick break. When we come back, I will go head-to-head with Booney, and then we'll have more of a Yankee conversation as well.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. The Call of the Day, Aaron Boone live in studio with us right now. Booney and I will go head-to-head in the pack, and then we want to finish up. We got a lot of questions we still got to ask you before we say goodbye at 2.
Yeah, a lot to do. Lunchtime with Aaron Boone, courtesy of our friends at Benjamin Steakhouse. Benjamin's restaurant group, which includes the Seafire Grill and Benjamin Steakhouse locations in Midtown Manhattan and White Plains, are offering a romantic menu the weekend of Valentine's Day. Learn more by visiting BenjaminSteakhouse.com. Okay. We have picked the packs. Booney opted. He actually said pick one, but he wound up. We guys opted for 86.
That's fine with me.
These are freshies. All right, Skip, which one do you want? You want the one that's my right hand? Do you want Sal to go first? Would you like to go first? What would you like to do?
I'll pass.
He's going to pass.
Okay, all right. So Sal, hit me with it. Let's go.
Sal is going to go first.
Yes.
All right, Sal, there's the gum. Let me just arrange these very quickly.
Yeah, go
ahead. Beautiful looking cards. All right, Sal, you ready?
Yes.
All right. First up, I know you know this, Gary Pettis.
Angels.
That's a good call. Good outfielder, fast. One for one, Sal.
Yeah.
All right. Ooh, we love this guy. We know this guy well. Lee Mazzilli.
Nice. 86 tops, the Pirates.
Yes.
Okay.
Remember, he came to the Mets in 86.
Yeah, I remember.
That's a good job by you, Sal. Attaboy.
Would have been tops traded or 87. But anyway,
very well done. Yeah. All right, number three. Are you a little nervous? The heart rate's going, isn't it?
I'm in competitive mode right now.
Number three, Gary Templeton.
San Diego Padres.
Oof, Booney, 3 for 3. Was part of that Ozzie Smith trade back in the day. Okay. Number four. We were just talking about this guy before. Dan Quisenberry for Sal.
Kansas City Royals.
Yes, side armor.
Okay. I mean, I got to get that one.
I know. I hear you.
Yep.
Died of brain cancer. Horrible. He was a really good player.
Glad you brought that up.
I mean, you know. How about Dave Bergman?
Tigers?
Oh, Booty's in trouble again.
And I only knew that one because of our reference from a year ago when we were doing these packs. He was a popular name that came up in 84. Anyway, so go ahead.
I remember him snagging a one-hopper up the line to preserve Jack Morris's no-hitter back in 84 when they started 35-5. Anyway, Dave Bergman. How about, we know this one. I bet you get this right. Shane Rowley.
Phillies.
Not a boy.
Okay.
Helps watching those
Lefty
Mets on
pitcher,
Channel 9.
Yeah, right.
Kenny Obergfell. This is an easy pack.
Braves, third baseman for the Braves.
Oh, dude. This is big.
We've never had a perfect pack before.
Dude, I don't know if you're going to get any of these wrong, actually. Willie Upshaw. Come on.
Hold on. Blue Jays.
Yes.
Okay.
Eight for eight. Yeah. Booty, I mean, he's wrong all this way. You get your teeth kicked in. Yeah, Bobby Cox, manager card.
Also Blue Jays.
Woo-wee!
That's a tricky one.
The only good thing is I know all these so far.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Okay, all right, that's true. I'm going to say you don't get this one right. Wilt Milcox.
Didn't we just have him in the other pack?
I don't recall.
Tigers.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. We just had him in the other pack. That's how I got that.
Wow,
okay.
Dude. Wow. Cecilio Guante.
Shoot. Pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates.
Yes. Dude, he's running the show.
All right, what else we got?
Yankees. He was a Yankee for a minute. Hard throw and didn't have the strike zone. All right, next one. You've got two more.
Okay.
Bryn Smith. No, not at all. Come on.
Twins?
Mm.
I don't know.
Expos.
Do you know that one?
Ooh, no, I wouldn't have said Expos.
What would you
get? I didn't know that either.
Go ahead.
Actually, yeah. Go ahead.
You didn't know it, you said? Okay. So that is
I probably should have gotten that one now that I think about it.
12. Last one. Ron Reynolds.
Shortstop Pirates?
No, you're thinking of the other RJ Reynolds.
Oh!
Who was not a shortstop, I think
he
was an outfielder.
Right?
Yeah.
He didn't play much. That was like Hodges, Stearns.
I've looked at that card a million times.
I hear you.
All right, so I'm in, would I go?
11 for 13.
All right, let's speed round.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Dude, incredibly impressive.
11
wow.
for 13.
All right. Ow. Hey, make sure you guys keep track here because I don't want to mess
RJ
this up here.
RJ Reynolds, God.
All right. Booty, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, first up. Let me hear. Okay. Tom Foley. Tom Foley.
Expos?
Phillies.
Oh! That Phillies. Would have been my guess, too. It's a tough one.
0 for 1. Jimmy Dwyer. I think you're going to know this one.
Orioles?
Yes, good call. How about Jeff Burrows? Put on a couple of teams.
Braves?
Blue Jays.
Mm.
Blue Jays.
This could be over early, which gives us more time to talk.
That's true. Luis Sanchez.
Angels.
Yeah, that's a good pull. I had no idea. Urbano Lugo.
I know that.
Okay, well, I don't know that either. That's a tough one. Urbano Lugo.
Angels.
Yes. Booty says, hold that. Relax. Dennis Eckersley. 86.
Tricky.
This is a tricky one. I agree.
Cubs.
Ooh.
He got it. He's right on.
All right. Hey, this is one of the best of all time of our generation. The great Kirby Puckett.
Twins.
All right. Charlie Huff. You'll get this.
Rangers.
Yes, sir. You'll get this. All right. How about get rid of the leader?
Is a tie still in play here?
Yes. Yeah, Andre, he's still a tie.
Okay.
Next one you get me, you get wrong, you lose. Andre Dawson.
Cubs.
No.
Ooh! Only went there in 89. Expos!
Oh, Booty!
Yes!
Come on, man.
BT's
dude, we swept him, man. Dude, no. Honestly, we swept him. That's awesome. Great job, Booty.
Good job.
Great job, Aaron.
All right.
Now
let's get to this real
quick
here.
Yes, we got a couple of quick hitters for you.
Next winner.
Yes, we're ready for it. Maybe
no
in spring training we get down. Anyway.
You come in here whenever you want.
Aaron Glenn, first-time head coach, played for the team. You were the same thing, played for the Yankees, first-time manager. Any advice for Aaron Glenn?
I loved what I saw yesterday. I watched that. Loved what I saw watching him a lot this year with the Lions. Amazing presence. Seems to have really good coaching chops, has a lot of experience, even though he hasn't been a head coach yet. I'm excited to see what he does. I think he should be great.
Oh, yeah, that press conference was great. All right, a couple of the Yankee quick hitters here. Opening day is not tomorrow. If it was tomorrow, Jazz at second or Jazz at third? Right now in your gut?
Probably right now at second. But
which is his natural position?
Yeah, but...
No?
To some degree, but he hasn't been there in a couple years.
True.
And he was really good at third. I think people just look at him and think he looks like more of a second baseman, but the reality is he played the heck out of third.
I thought the metrics backed up the eye test. I agree. He's got a good arm.
Who's the other option? We're looking at DJ at third or who's at second?
Yeah, right now I would have Jazz at second and then Cabrera and DJ and even Peraza are all kind of vying in the mix for that third base.
Listen, Aaron, we all respect DJ LeMahieu. He's a terrific hitter. Just get older, body. But how do you trust that he can even get through a season at this point?
Well, I mean, he's going to have that opportunity. And the reality is, DJ's been an amazing hitter. And
I know.
He's just been hurt.
Yep.
And so hopefully with some health, some of that bat can return because he can still really defend. And even if it's on... whether it's an everyday level or if it's against I do think there's a role for him. I think it's just going to be dependent on his health.
Are we looking at in the outfield here? Left field, center field, Bellinger going to be out there? Dominguez, what are we looking at with the Yankee outfield
now? Yeah, so we'll try and get Dominguez up to speed in left. Bellinger probably in center with Grisham in the mix there too. Because I feel like no matter – if Giancarlo has a day off or I want a DH Judge, I feel good about moving Bellinger wherever. I'd ideally not like to move Dominguez as much.
Yep.
So, on a day where, let's just say G's out, Judge is going to DH, I can move Bellinger over and throw Grisham into center and keep Dominguez in left. But we'll see how it all shakes out. Everson Pereira, who I'm actually really excited about, is back this year. He had the Tommy John last year.
I saw that, yeah.
I think he can play into the mix for us. And there's always people that surprise you that you don't necessarily know about right now. And you never know what can happen from a move standpoint in these next few weeks.
So the two spot, obviously, a year ago was Soto. You and I and Sal were talking about during the commercial break about the leadoff spot, which obviously is very important for you guys. Bellinger makes sense in the two spot? Like right now, where you? I know it's early. There's a lot of things to obviously go through.
We're very left-handed, so it just depends who solves that leadoff spot. And is it one guy, or is it one guy versus a righty, one guy versus a lefty?
You probably don't prefer that. You want one guy, don't you? I mean, isn't that easier to manage that way? One guy batting leadoff?
I would, but not necessarily. I mean, if it's a... if the leadoff hitter happens to be Jazz, who I don't necessarily, especially if we got a full group and guys that are really contributors, we'll see. In a perfect world, you love rolling them out. But the biggest thing is trying to have a guy that is obviously getting on base at a high level in that number one spot. So it could be a number of guys. I think Dominguez's DNA is that because he gets on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He also has power and can really run too. So those are positive, but he has that DNA that gets on, whereas Bellinger and Jazz, you know, with their power and, you know, bat the ball, I feel like play well in the middle.
Can you put an end to this once and for all? Mm-hmm. Are you filling out the lineup, or is it a data applicator thing? Come on, Booty, give it to me. Here we are.
You went for it. I was waiting for that. He said he was going to hit you with that. Save there.
I just wait for it to come down at 5:30 and say, okay, here we go.
Cashman give you what you got to do and call it a day.
Cashman this says is what the data says today. All right.
Huh? Nah. Obviously, a lot of people have been, he's going to data applicate it. So it pissed me off last year when you said that, right? Which is just because it's nonsense. But at the same time, there's some truth. Like, the teams that aren't applying some data to what they're doing are behind and trying to catch up and are in a lot of ways screwed. There's always the balance, and that balance exists every single day. And it does with me. It does with us. You'd be foolish to not look at a lot of the information that's available to you.
Aaron, you've been here for a while now. You're part of the fabric of the city. You've won a lot of games. And I think in large part, genuinely and generally, you're well-liked by Yankee fans, right? And, of course, you want to win the World Series. Do you feel that by at least getting to the World Series, it gives you a little more, not that you needed it, but maybe a little more cachet with some fans who weren't sure if it was maybe time for a change? You think about that stuff at all?
I honestly don't look at it that way. Like, you guys asked earlier, like, have you gotten over the world? Like, you never get over the end. And the obsession is, like, you got to move past it. And, like, now it's time to get ready for this season. But that's kind of where your focus is. It's not like, I hope I'm getting enough approval here or not. Like, you know? While I have the privilege of being in this seat that I revere and I respect, like, I'm just trying to do the best that I can with our group to try and win a title. And that's kind of as far as I look at it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a day when I'm done with this where I'll reflect a little bit more.
Yep.
But right now it's like, I'm really excited about our team. We talked about the pivot we made. I'm excited about who we brought in and what I think they can be, and some guys that are a little bit unknowns right now that we got to, you know, get something out of. We have a chance to go do something special. We got to go do it, and that's kind of where my mind is.
You going to the Super Bowl? Watch your Eagles?
No, I'll probably watch it from Tampa. I said, if somebody sends me a jet Sunday morning from Tampa and then flies me home after the game Sunday, then I'll go.
Well, how? I mean, how's got one?
Or text your buddy Soto. Maybe he can set it up with $765 million.
Otherwise, good. I'll have some coaches and staff guys over in Tampa, and we'll watch it. That's how we did it a couple years ago.
Wow. Booney, thank you for your time. That's appreciate awesome. It. Very
yeah, good
much.
To see you.
It was awesome coming in.
This.
Good luck
thank
this
you,
season.
Aaron.
We'll hopefully talk to you soon. Good luck in the Subway Series. Maybe you guys get one this year. Yeah, Booty, me and Manny. No, seriously, thank you for coming in.
I had to get that in.
I told him I hate the Dodgers now too, so I'm rooting for you guys. I hope you get there. And if the Mets aren't there, then I hope you beat the Dodgers. I'm really rooting for you. Seriously,
thanks, man.
Class act. Thank you,
Skip. Guys.
All right, there you have it. Aaron Boone in with BT and Sal. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.